Both basketball teams dominate in Mequon. The track and field program makes school history, and could the Bulldogs have multiple national championships this season? We'll break it all down for you today on the fourth ever episode of Talking Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how you doing?
Doing great today. The weather's warming up. Everyone's feeling good. The Bulldogs are performing well. How about yourself?
I'm not doing too bad. I did hear, I had the pleasure of reporting on one of the track and field meets in our beautiful indoor facilities that we have here. And man, we really showed up and showed out, didn't we?
We really did. We had two different meets this week and last week. So many good performances. Unfortunately, we cannot talk about everyone just because there were so many good performances. But there were some outstanding efforts that did actually get some national attention. So we'll start with the big national news. The women's indoor track and field team is ranked number 2 in the country by the U.S. Track and Field and Cross Country Coaches Association. The men's team is ranked 10th, so both in the top 10, looking great for the Bulldogs. Then we have the women's 4x800 meter relay, won the NAIA Track and Field Athletes of the Week. So that's the first time in program history we've had national attention like that. Junior Jenna Esch, senior Kaylin Freiberg, junior Julie McIntyre, and senior Riley Haker ran 9 minutes 15.26 seconds in the 4x8, which is almost 11 seconds faster than the second time nationally. It's actually the fastest time ran on a normal indoor track since 2019.
How about that?
So, well deserving of that national attention. Last Wednesday, we claimed both GPAC Athlete of the Week honors for track and field. Freiberg earned it for her 2:18 split in the 4x8 and a 17:48 5K. Indoors, that's just insane. Then Zach Zahner got his recognition for the pole vault. So he vaulted 16 feet, 8¾ inches. So just off that 17-foot mark. But then what does he do next week? He gets himself NAIA National Athlete of the Week again. So we got our first national honor like that a week ago, and then Zach goes and does it the very next week.
So the program goes from having none to having two in what, a week span?
In about a week span, yep, span of two meets. So absolutely wonderful from the Bulldogs. So he clears the 17 feet, 17 feet and 3/4 inches exactly. So that puts him at the top of the NAIA national rankings. That was all at the Concordia Classic, where we had over 20 event winners. So obviously can't name them all, but I'll go through a couple notable ones. So a fun one we got. Swept the top three in the 3,000 meter race walk. Always love that event. It's a lot of fun to watch. We had freshman Caleb Schlichting taking first place in that event. And then we had two other Bulldogs coming in second and third. All of them set meet records. So great day to be a race walker.
Yeah.
And then our women's distance medley took first place and got the national auto qualifier. Haker, she got first place in the 1,000 meters with a 2 minutes 56.82 seconds and is sitting at second place in the national rankings for her event. The women's 4x4 once again won their meet. They're doing lots of good work this season. Then on to the Polar Dog Invite, where 15 event winners. So
A lot of meet records at that event too, because I was there reporting, and every single one, it was like, oh, cool, we're making history today.
Yep, it's insane. Lots of, like you said, history being made at these events, and still three meets into the season.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy. And we're already getting national qualifiers, meet records, field house records. So yeah, 15 event winners at the Bulldog Invite. Gonna throw some love to the throwers out there. Senior Chris Wren crushed his competition with a 19.2 meter or 63 feet throw, which would have gotten him the A standard for nationals, except he already has it. He threw 19.63 meters back at the first meet, and his performance at the Polar Dog Invite, he beat everyone else by almost 2 meters. So 6 whole feet just absolutely blew him out of the water.
So he's his only competition right now.
Pretty much, yeah. He's doing great work out there in the field. And then sophomore Josie Noble took first place in the triple jump on, like you said, meet record with 11.45 meters. And then Adriana Rodenkall has been crushing it all season. She's pretty much getting first in all her events. Hasn't been outside of the top three in any event, individual or relay. prelim or final all season. So she's doing a lot of great work.
Yeah, no, with the both track teams, like you mentioned, going in that were both being ranked. We'll get into the basketball team later. It's just a lot of things are looking up for Concordia Athletics right now.
Yeah, we're kind of seeing a little dynasty being formed because while we've got our upperclassmen performing well, got the underclassmen showing up as well.
A lot of youngins. Yeah. A lot of youngins.
Like we see Adriana, she is just a sophomore. Haley Miles, she hasn't jumped since the first meet, but she already set her school record, meet record, all the records, and she's just a sophomore as well. So freshman as well, doing well. The race walk was won by a freshman.
Sure. On the up and up, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
How about the wrestling team? How they've been doing?
They've been doing all right. They struggled a little bit at the GPAC duels, then split up into 2 days. So day one, they suffered two losses. The first one was to Dakota Wesleyan, 24-16. And then after that, they lost to Morningside, 29-18. So not incredibly big losses, but still would like to see those go the other way. And then they had a triple header on day two. So no
brutal
breaks, back to back to back.
Brutal.
They ended up coming up strong in the first duel of the day. They defeated Northwestern 33-11, so a nice big win there. Then, unfortunately, lost to Briarcliff 22-20.
Oof.
Super tight loss. Unfortunate. Then they ended up losing to Jamestown 29-21. So you can see the win was big. The losses, a couple points either way, you know, in the Briarcliff and Jamestown losses, that's really a one wrestler flipping his matchup to
sure,
win it.
Sure.
And you see a 4-point swing, that's 8 points. If one of our guys against Jamestown can pin a guy when he got beat on points, that switches that whole duel again. So wasn't all bad though. We had two very notable individual performances. So freshman Barrett Brandt tied the program record for pins in a season. He's at 21 after his pin against Jamestown. He's been solid all season. I mean, you'd have to be tying a school record, not even at the end of the season yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So he, as a freshman as well, doing great work. And then Creighton Bauman, probably the most consistent guy on the team. He's been having a phenomenal season. He's ranked number 8 in the NAIA. And a crazy stat, while he hasn't won all his matches this season, he's 13-0 in duels. So when his team needs him, he shows up.
He shows up big time. Shows up big time. What's their overall record?
They are 7-6 overall, and then 3-4 in the GPAC. So obviously these duels, 5 matches, unfortunately 1-4. So that doesn't help their record very much.
Yeah.
But I mean, you can see lots of close matches. When they beat Northwestern, they beat them by a lot. It's just got to get one or two more things clicking, get some more bonus points, and be on the up. Definitely not over for their season.
Yep, still above 500. They're still hanging in there, and obviously, like you mentioned, even with the losses, they're close losses, so they're giving people black eyes at least when mm-hmm. they're going down.
Yep, exactly. So looking forward to seeing how they perform in the rest of the season, and let's throw it over to basketball. Lots of success over on the court.
Yeah, well, big news that happened over the weekend. I'm sure a lot of the student body knows because a lot of the student body was there. We had CIT. So let's start off with men's basketball. Just looking at their season so far, they're 16-5 overall, 9-4 in the GPAC. They're kind of getting a little shade from the national pundits, I guess you could say, because they're still not ranked. However, that will change after the result. We'll talk about it here in a few seconds. But going to the CIT, they won again. Surprise, surprise. This is the 30th CIT win in program history.
Insane.
A pretty recent streak of dominance, too. And there's notable performances all around. But the one that really catches the eye is Tristan Smith. Tristan Smith was GPAC Player of the Week for January 30th. He had 3 straight double-doubles that week and 3 straight contests. So just to look at his season numbers, why he got that award, he's 17.9 points per game, which is second on the team, but it's 10th in the GPAC. Noah Shutt is actually first in the team in points per game, close to around 20, and that's top 5 in the GPAC.
Gosh, so we got 2 big performers on
the team. Yeah, really big performers. And Smith also has 192 rebounds, which is first on the team, and it is second in the GPAC for rebounding. And to go along with that, he's a big guy, so a lot of his shots land because I guess he's closer to the hoop. Fourth in the G-Pack in shooting percentage, he's shooting over 60%. 60.3% of his shots are going in. But anyways, CIT was great. Another win for the Bulldogs. Now, in the most recent matchup, they go back to G-Pack play. They played number 19 ranked Morningside. This is why I think that the Bulldogs will be ranked here after this next poll comes out. Number 19 ranked Morningside, they beat him 99-88. So a double digit win. And in the final few minutes of the game, they went on a 10-0 run to really seal it.
So it was pretty close up until that.
It was. I mean, which is what you would expect when you're playing a nationally ranked team, especially 19 ranked Morningside, who's been a pain in the side for a few years. But that caps off a 5-game win streak for the men's team. So they were sitting at a kind of a dicey 11-5 overall record. You know, you don't know which way the season's going to go from that point. It has a chance to be great, has a chance to be awful. You go into the CIT, you win both games there, you get the championship, you have a huge double-digit win over a ranked opponent, a conference opponent, and things are looking up for the boys' program.
We were talking last week about basketball teams doing well, but they need a big string of some big wins, and it looks like, especially with that win over Morningside, seem to have found that extra spark, that extra mile.
Yeah. Oh, and last point about the Morningside game, Tristan Smith, we were singing his praises a few seconds ago, injured, didn't play. So it was a team effort. You got a double digit win over 19 ranked Morningside without arguably either your best or second best player.
Yeah. Insane. So that bodes really well once we can get him back.
Mm-hmm, really well. And going over to the women's side, I think you could argue the women's are doing even better. Since our last podcast episode, which was 2 weeks ago now, they haven't lost a game. They're still at 2 losses. It was that same stretch of games in December that we were talking about last episode where they lost 2 out of 3 to 2 G-Pack opponents. Those are still their only losses of the season. They're 18-2 overall and 12-2 in the G-Pack. They're ranked 8th nationally. They're probably going to be going up because they've had a piece together a long, long win streak as well. They haven't lost. They finished January without losing, and they didn't lose a game, I believe, it was the 9th of December was their last loss. So they are dominant right now, and with dominance, it kind of as expected. They win their 32nd in program history CIT tournament. This is the 9th straight year that the Lady Bulldogs have come home with the CIT championship. This time, we've mentioned a lot of names. Even on this podcast, we've mentioned a few names. Tayshia Rushton is really big for them, the leading scorer. She gets all the G-Pack awards. It was Kendall Brigham who got the CIT MVP.
Sharing the love out here.
Sharing the love. She leads the team in field goal percentage. She's shooting over 40%. I did an article a week ago where I interviewed Coach Olson over email, and I was saying, hey, who are some of the unsung heroes on the team? And he shout out Kendall Brigham because sometimes she comes off the bench. She plays a role that is very niche in the offense, but as you can see, CIT MVP. She comes out and she performs in both of the games at the CIT. She got 14 apiece, so she's just the definition of consistency every time she comes out onto the court.
Yeah, and didn't they blow out both teams in the CIT by like 30 points?
The first one was a bit dicey. So again, we talked about this last episode, but the trend for the Bulldogs this season, at least for the women's team, has been you come out in the first and the second quarters, and you kind of play with your food a little bit. That's obviously not what they want to do, but it definitely the offense is a bit more flat coming out in to start the game. Need to find their feet, but Coach Olson must give great halftime speeches because they come out in the third quarter and you look at their scoring totals per quarter for the whole season, and they score something like 70%, 60% of their total points in the third quarter. It's a crazy, crazy percentage. So they come out of halftime, and that's when they really put teams away.
Yeah.
So the first game against Concordia Ann Arbor, that was the story there. The second game against Concordia, Wisconsin, the home team up there in Mequon, that was a blowout through and through. That was a handling of, I believe they're the Falcons. So it was a great showing by the Concordians from Nebraska. But as I mentioned, there's still a little bit of the flat start, but it hasn't come to nip them in the bud yet, which is great. They've played really good teams. They've played ranked teams. And even though they come out sometimes and they start flat, this team, it must be the conditioning, or it must be something they're doing right, something they're eating for breakfast. Yeah, that is a good point. They do have a lot of good depth off the bench, but no matter how far down they are in the first half, they always find a manage a way to come back in the third quarter, fourth quarter, and even put up double-digit points on some of these teams they're playing.
Good teams, they win games when maybe they aren't playing at their best. They come out and they find a way. It's going to be the story of the Lady Bulldogs.
Yes. So when you look at it in its totality, you have the women's basketball team ranked eighth right now. I guarantee you they're going to be getting ranked higher. You're getting into the tricky point of the season where you're playing a lot of teams for the second time, which is, it's tricky in any sport. It's tricky in football, tricky in soccer, tricky in basketball, because the teams have more film to review.
Yep.
They know what to expect. They know, and this is really, talking to Coach Olson, this is what he said, this is really the part of the season for both the men's and the women's team when you really see what the coaches are made of.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is when you're going against squads, you know the schemes, and it's now how do you get around those schemes and how do you put your teams in the place for success?
Definitely a tactical battle going on in rematches.
For sure, for sure. So that's the point of the season we are in basketball. Women are currently ranked number 8. They're probably going to be ranked higher here in the few coming weeks. Men's basketball, after a huge win against Morningside, is definitely going to be climbing in. They may not be top 10 in the nation, but they're definitely going to be climbing in that top 25 range. We mentioned both of the track teams are doing really good. The women, I believe you said, were ranked 2nd in the nation. The men were ranked 10.
Yep.
Is that correct? So you just got excellence upon excellence in the Bulldogs right here. So we're really just looking forward not only to the rest of these seasons, but you mentioned the youth in a lot of these teams, and you could say that for the basketball squads as well. You mentioned the youth, just looking forward to what they're going to do in seasons to come.
Oh yeah. And you know, just looking forward to the spring sports with the weather yesterday.
Oh,
we got to see the baseball and softball teams out on the football field doing some outdoor practice. So
mm-hmm.
good for them to get some work outdoors.
Yeah, no, I forgot grass existed there for a few weeks.
Yep. The snow is almost gone. So
yeah.
I think your Texas blood is probably enjoying this.
Oh my gosh.
A little bit more.
Yeah. I almost froze, but we made it. We made it.
Yeah. But yeah, lots of exciting things to look forward to. We've got, actually tomorrow, February 2nd, we've got the Frank Sivine Husker Invitational out in Lincoln. And then the 3rd, we're out in Crete for another meet. So lots of track and field action coming up. And then tomorrow here at Concordia Friedrich Arena, we're having a duel against Colby Community College. So if you can, head out there, support our Bulldog teams. Know we've got some basketball games coming up as well.
Got some basketball. Like I mentioned, they're in the gauntlet of the schedule now. They're playing a lot of GPAC teams coming up. I know both squads, for sure, they're going to be out there in force at home Monday. So be sure to go out, support your teams, and looking forward to a clean rest of the season.
Yeah, and then one more thing on wrestling. On February 3rd, out in Crete, we got a duel against Doan for wrestling. And Doan is number 1 in the GPAC right now. They have 100% record, so should be a good matchup. You know, I mentioned Creighton Bauman, 13-0 in duels, so we'll see how he fares against Doan. I was looking at their stats. Their whole roster is pretty much number 1, number 2 GPAC ranked, so it'll be a good test for our Bulldog wrestlers.
Go shock the world.
Yeah.
Go shock the world.
Good underdog story.
Well, with all that being said, that's a wrap on our 4th ever episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned for the future weekly episodes on the CUNE website. In the meantime, from Cohen Carpenter and Kyle Ulbrich and everyone at the Sower newspaper, have a great 2024 and go Dogs!